Amen. Well, we want to just praise God for the many talents He's bestowed upon His people. Amen. And that's the way the message goes out. We can know that God works in all of our hearts, and each and every one of us has a talent that we can render to the Lord. Amen. Amen. And just remember that. And you might say, well, I don't know. I don't, you know, we think of sometimes we think of all the talents that are up front, people that sing and maybe going on mission projects and preaching. But there are many of those that kind of work behind the scenes, kind of slowly and maybe not so up front. I'm thinking about maybe your prayer. We have prayer warriors and people that write letters and take phone calls and write notes and that type of thing. And those are talents to be used for the glory and honor of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. I just want to say real quick again before we get into our sermon, you know, we were gone. Some of us had gone to the family camp last week. And it was really nice. We went to the family camp, and I hate to try to put a percentage on there, but there were a lot of young couples there, a lot of children. And in each of the sessions, I guess it's something that we are probably not used to here in Dulzura, but it reminded me of some other churches I've been in where you have children all the time, and it was always, you know, somebody needing to move because not all children can sit still for very long, amen? I mean, we train ourselves as adults to kind of sit for a while, and even I, you know, at times I get a little antsy after a while and want to get up and move, so we can imagine. But it was really nice to hear and see all of these children all in one place. And you see, you know, the Lord is raising up another generation. And I just want to say, you know, let's keep them in prayer too, all the young couples, and say that, you know, at this camp, there wasn't a lot of little activities that we might see in some of the other churches to try to keep the kids occupied. There was really a camp for parenting and for husbands and wives. And I really got benefited from that myself, going up there and taking my wife and my son. And today's sermon is, I really want to talk about that because I heard a scripture that kind of caught my ear. And I know I've read this before, and you might have heard it. And really, that's what kind of had me going during the week. I was thinking about that, and it's we'll make it kind of short here today, but as we see Christ's second coming and we think about reflecting His character again, we want to know, how can I do this? Where am I at, Lord? And we hear all of these voices coming at us from different directions. You know, we hear voices from our children. We hear voices from the conference office. We hear the voices of those that are out in the community, out in the world. And where do we go? Where do we stand? And really, that's the message this morning. It's really, really quite simple. And with that, I'd just like to ask if you would please bow your heads with a short prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning again to honor you and to glorify you and to praise you, God, for all that you do for us. And we ask you, dear Lord God, this morning, as we look at your holy word, that we could see a person. I don't know how old this prophet was, Lord, but we want to look at his life, and we see that where you had touched him and moved in his life, and yet where he made a mistake and something seemingly so simple. We ask you, Lord, as we look at this life, not to judge him, but that we might see ourselves and learn from his life, Lord, that we might not live the same mistake. Again, we ask these blessings to be upon us, that we could glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And I'll ask you to open your Bibles, and we'll read that story, and we'll have a little short background on this. There was a king. The kingdom of Israel was being divided. There was a new king, Jeroboam, who had taken over. And, of course, he was taking Israel in the wrong direction. At first, it seemed that his life would be good, and Jeroboam had set up idol worship before the kingdom of Israel and before God, and God was greatly displeased. But that's not the story we're going to look at. We're going to look at the story of a prophet that was sent to warn Jeroboam. And it's kind of a long one, but maybe we'll read that together. And we'll start with verse 1. And it says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and unto thee shall he offer the priest of the high places and burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, It is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, and that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him, and his hand, which he had put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. And the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half of thy house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For it charged me by the word of the Lord. And I just want to stop for a second there. We want to look at this. And as you guys see this, I hope you see that picture. Here is Jeroboam in apostasy. He is going against the word of God. And here is a man, a prophet of God, that God has given him a message to Jeroboam, and it is done as God has said. This prophet, you know, prophesied against him. Now, I want to ask your opinion. This is my habit here for some of you that are visiting today. I always kind of like to ask questions, get you involved here. But just about thinking, what would you think of this man? Do you think that this prophet was truly a man of God? Yeah, that he could prophesy and these things actually happened, that the altar was broken and the ashes poured out, that the king, his hands was withered, and yet he prayed for him and he was restored. I mean, well, how would we feel about that? I said, wow, that's the Spirit of the Lord is working. The Spirit of God is with his man. And God then had told this man, and of course, you know, a lot of these things, the prophet didn't do this for money, amen? Because here was the king, was willing to reward him and say, you know what, you've healed me. You know, man, what can I do for you? I would think that he would be the king. If it were me, I would be excited, amen? I would be excited to receive healing and to see these miracles work in my sight. And, you know, like I said, we're not going to talk too much about Jeroboam, but, you know, unfortunately, Jeroboam didn't see these things. It didn't change his ways. But we want to look at the man of God, because we want to see how do we stand, because I hope that we may look at ourselves more like the prophet than we do Jeroboam. Amen? Amen? That we're in prayer, and hopefully our prayers will work as we seek the Lord. And then we'll continue, he says, And so he went another way and returned, not by the way that he had came to Bethel, because that's what the God had told this prophet, right? And then it says now in verse 11, And now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, and the words which he had spoken unto the king. Then they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen the way the man of God went and came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass, So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. Now, verse 14, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that comest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. Why did he respond to the prophet? Why did the young prophet respond to the old prophet that way? That's what the Lord had said. It was just really, kind of really plain and simple, wasn't it? He said, look, the Lord told me in this place, and he's talking about Bethel. This is not with the king and not with anybody else. And this prophet, this other prophet came and said, look, come and have bread with me. And then 15, it says, 17 rather, he says, for it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou comest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee unto thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. And then what was that last part of this? But he lied unto him. But the young prophet, did the young prophet know that this was a lie? No, he didn't know it. It'd be just like any of us. I mean, I could almost kind of consider myself, you know, you especially young pastors when they first come into work, you know, they study the word of God, they look at these things, and you have these ideas. And we too, young people, and us older folks, when we come into the church and we study, we read these, we go through these revelation seminars and all these other things, and the word of God comes to us, and the Holy Spirit works in our minds and works in our hearts, and we read the word of God, and we have this idea of what God wants us to go. How is he going to make this path to the heavenly kingdom for us? What is the plan that's laid out by our heavenly Father for our lives? And we go about our business doing our work. And we have this voice in our mind has told us in the past what we needed to go, how we were to live our lives. But then somebody that's been in the church for a while, an old prophet, comes to you and says, you know what, but the Lord has spoken to me, and he has another way for you. Wow. And I say that because we as Seventh-day Adventists in particular, sometimes we know that we have a greater light yet. There's still more truth to come to us. Amen? We are to continue studying the Word of God and studying the Spirit of prophecy. And we say as Christ comes closer and closer to us, and not only spiritually, but I'm saying even physically in reality as he comes, his second coming is closer, we see the things of the earth we're thinking about, new light, new truth coming to us. But we have to beware when we're listening to those other voices. Amen? We have to beware when those old prophets come to us and says, you know, by the word the Lord has come to me, that I have another way for you, another way to go for this eternal life that God has promised you. But I just want to admonish us this morning that we have to be careful. We have to be careful to say that if we hear new light, we hear new truth, not to discard it right away, not to say that this is of no value, but that we are to take it back to what we have been studied and to what we know is to be God's truth, that God has preserved us thus far on these certain truths. And then, you know, look at those according to that light. And if it is in conjunction with what God had told him, then I guess we could be on safe ground. And I just want to use this prophet, this young prophet. Maybe if the older prophet had come to him and said, you know what? I heard what you did. I've heard the great miracles that you've done with the king. I've heard how you prophesied against the altar. And then it has come true according to what God told you. And said, I really want to share a meal with you. Why don't we go on your way home? Can I be with you and go with you on the way and then share a meal? I don't know. I mean, I read the Spirit, and there wasn't a whole lot on here. I mean, I have a note here, and that's why I didn't pass out notes this morning. But I'm just kind of maybe putting my mind into this, maybe a little bit too much imagination. But the old prophet didn't do that. What did the prophet tell him? He told him something that was what? A lie, totally contrary to what God had. But it seems simple, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem, I mean, just something as easy as fellowshipping, eating bread and drinking water. I mean, we can eat and drink a whole lot unhealthier things in our days. Amen? Amen? I mean, we talk about diet and food, and we talk about people with high blood pressure and cholesterol and sugar diabetes and all of these other things. But here, it had nothing to do with that. It was just a simple request. And God said, you know what? I want you to go into this town. I want you to prophesy against it. This king is in apostasy, and then I just want you to leave. Don't even stop the fellowship. Don't even stop to eat with anybody there in town. And maybe the prophet's saying, well, you know, maybe the Lord just meant the king. It's the king that was in apostasy. Maybe it's okay to eat with the prophet. I mean, here's another person of God. Amen? I mean, he is called a prophet, isn't he? It says the old prophet that was in Bethel, living right there. Maybe the young prophet said, well, you know, okay. You know, Lord talks to me. He talks to you. You know, we're both in this boat in the same boat, the same world, the same situation. We both work for the Lord. I don't know. Maybe it can't be that wrong just to go ahead. Maybe he did get a message. Maybe God changed his mind. I mean, do you ever think about that? Has God ever changed his mind? Yeah. Very rarely, except when it comes to punishing somebody. Amen. If somebody repents, then God will change his mind. But when he gives his word, when he tells us a certain way to go, when he gives us a certain message of what we need to do, how we need to live our lives, there's no changing. There's no turning back. There's no twisting and bending what God has said to us. Amen. And we look at this. I want to look at a passage here in verse 12. Same thing. 1 Kings chapter 12. And we'll start with verses 26. Verse 26. And this is talking about the apostasy of Jeroboam. It says, and Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. And again, you know, because they're talking about reestablishing the worship service over there. He says, if this people go to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, remember, where's Jeroboam? Bethel. And he's saying, so if these people, then I'm the king now, I'm the new king, and if they go to Jerusalem to worship, and that might bring some old memories, and it's just one that might follow David again. It said, in the house of Jerusalem, then shall the heart of these people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, the king of Judah. And then verse 28, whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them. Now these people have had experience with calves of gold in the past, amen? They knew about this. But here's the part that really, I think, kind of talks to him. It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now that was just a straight up lie already. But the people knew that. But what was the appealing part to the folks? Yeah, don't trouble yourself. It's too far. It's easy. You don't have to get up. You don't have to get up so early in the morning and get ready to go all the way to Jerusalem, or then make that pilgrimage two or three times a year, whatever it is the Lord had set up for the Israelites at the time. Amen? It's easier just to stay right here in Bethel with the king, the calves, and maybe even this young prophet, he probably wasn't even thinking about the king and the calves. He knew that was wrong, but maybe it's not too bad to hang out here with some of the old prophets. And I just want to say this morning, I think as we talk about wanting to be like Christ, being formed into Christ-like image, that we need to learn to cling to what God has already taught us. Cling to the Word of God that had brought us into salvation. Amen? We know these things. We know these things, and yet we struggle and we wrestle when we see something new comes in. We look at stuff, and I just want to say that sometimes we can see and that others will just tell us. And I think that's the worst part, amen? This is kind of maybe a warning from the God, because sometimes when people from other denominations might say something to us, and we'll take a second look, amen? And we might say, well, you know, he's you know, whatever denomination it is, you know, I better, man, that doesn't sound quite right, or, you know, this is a foundation that I've had, and the Lord doesn't, I don't think this is what the Lord is saying. But when we hear somebody from within the church come to us and tells us something that's a little bit different, then we might be a little bit more inclined to listen to that voice without searching it or researching or praying over it as diligently as we would if somebody else would have said to us. Amen? I'm sure you know, the prophet, he knew that Jeroboam was in apostasy, and the king said, stay with me, I'll give you a reward. And he said, man, even if you give me half of your house, I'm not staying. Well, that he was pretty tenacious there, wasn't he? He was pretty grounded there. He knew where he had to be. He knew that the God said, you know, don't stay there. Don't, not even to eat bread or drink water. Not even water. But the old prophet came to him and insisted. The spirit of prophecy tells us that the old prophet really talked to him and insisted several times, right? Oh, come on, brother. What's wrong? Just a little bread, a little water. It's all right. God speaks to me too. I'm just like you. Come on. No, I can't go. Oh, come on, man. What's wrong? What's wrong with water? Come on. Man, it's whole wheat. All right. You know, 12 grain bread. Come on, man. Come on. No, you know, come on. I'm sure it's hot out here. I'm sure you're real thirsty, and it's a long way back home. You know, God wouldn't mind if you had just a little glass of water. No sugar in it. No food coloring. All right? Just, come on. What's wrong? Come on. And he finally, you know, the old prophet was pretty persistent, wasn't he? He was really persistent. And then the young man came in. He came in and says, all right, no problem. Now, I hope you know the rest of the story, right? The young prophet went, ate, and then the Spirit fell on the old prophet and really did prophesy a true prophecy. He says, you know what? Because you've disobeyed, you're not going to make it home. You're not going to be buried with your fathers. And a lion attacked him and killed him. And the old prophet went back out, found him, and brought him back and laid him in his own tomb. Wow. We look at that. And I'm looking at it. And when I said, when I was at that family camp and I read this and I looked and I was thinking about the times to come, the trouble that comes. We just, if we want to be truly as Christ is, we have to be just like Christ has taught us, to cling to God's word, amen? Not to give up in any part of it. And if we know that there is something, is something in our minds, is something in the Holy Spirit is talking to us and say, you know what, maybe the conference is telling me this is okay. Maybe the general conference is telling me this is okay. Or maybe my brother down the street is telling me it's okay. Maybe Pastor Jose is telling me that this is okay. But the Holy Spirit is telling you, that's not what I told you to begin with. That's not what I've asked of you to do. Now we look at it. Maybe it might have been okay for the old prophet to eat and stay there in Bethel. Maybe the Lord had a work for the old prophet there to do. But it wasn't for that young prophet. That young prophet already had a mission. He had a work to do. And he was not to linger there where he would be in trouble. And I think that was the lesson for us today, this morning. Maybe, and we don't know, I don't want to judge others. Maybe if somebody else is doing something different, I don't know, maybe it's okay for them. Amen? Maybe it's okay for the old prophet to stay there in Bethel. Maybe he has a mission, I don't know. But if the Lord has told us, if he's told me, that you know what? That's not for you. That's not where you need to be. Maybe that's not the type of foods you need to be eating. Maybe that's not the type of music you need to be listening to. Maybe that's not the type of language you should be using. Maybe that's not the type of things you should be watching. Maybe that's not the type of things you should be, the kind of clothes you should be wearing. Maybe then we should say, okay, Lord, I'll not stay. Not even if the king gives me half of his household. I'll turn and I'll walk away. Because why? If we give out, if we miss out, if we miss out on a little bit here on this earth, if we miss out a little bit on this life, are we really going to miss out on a whole lot compared to the rewards God has for us? How many of you really believe that God has great rewards for us, those that are faithful to him for all eternity? Amen. Amen. What kind of, give me an example. What kind of rewards does God have? A mansion, different life, right? What kind of streets are in this mansion? Gold, pure gold, right? Not just any gold, not 14 karat gold or 12 karat. This is 100% pure gold. You know, that's going to make whatever's on this earth seem like nothing. I mean, extremely dull. I mean, I read things and my imagination is running away with me. And I can see the streets of gold so pure, so bright, that even our most best gold that's polished here wouldn't even hold a light to it. Amen? What else does he promise us? Be able to see him face to face. Wow. That's going to be awesome. What else? Free travel. All right. You could just think. Respirator probably said, if you just think of it, man, you're there. No. We won't have to worry about being Greenpeace or anybody else, right? No more drilling for oil, gas prices. We just think. God says, you know, there's a beautiful planet on the other side of this galaxy or two galaxies. Oh, Lord, I want to be there. We imagine, man, he'll let us be there. Can you imagine that? And all for what? And what do we have to give up here? Very little. Just to be what? Be faithful even to the small things that the Lord has asked us to do. And it is so hard. It's so hard for us. I know, because even myself, right, we kind of go through that pendulum at times, you know, where we're really studying the Word of God. We're really into prayer. And then some, you know, as we mentioned earlier in Sabbath school with the youth, you know, we get into the routine of life and things are just kind of going about normal, especially here in the U.S. And man, we really don't have a whole lot of persecution or troubles. The food, almost everything is provided for. And if something happens, if we're out of work, you know, the church will help out. The government gives you your unemployment or whatever it is you need. You know, keep you going along. You're really not suffering a whole lot. And it's so easy to give in, to start listening to these little voices that are persistent, just like the old prophet, right? Come on, brother. It's not that bad. You know, but the Lord said, yes, it is. It's bad for me. It might not be bad for you, brother. You know, more stay with, amen, more power to you. All right? You're the prophet. You know, so like David, he would refuse to kill Saul, right? He had the opportunity, but he wouldn't do it. But he says, who am I to hurt the anointed of the Lord? Who are we to say bad things about this old prophet? And maybe, like I said, it's okay for him, but it wasn't okay for that prophet. So I want to leave that with, I want to put that challenge to us in our hearts this morning. As we read the Word of God, as we are convicted by the Word of God, as we study deeper and try to find out some of the meaning, because sometimes we don't always get the whole understanding of God's Word. So maybe through prayer and study of the spiritual process, if we're convicted of something, I just want to admonish us that we stick with it. Don't listen to those other voices. Don't listen to the old prophets. Beware, because they might take you down a road that's not true for you. And in here, the scripture says and I've had that experience. I want to bring that out. I've talked to them. And sometimes these old prophets will just straight up lie to you. Amen? I mean, it's true. Why? Because they're human. They're human. They just might straight up lie to you. You have to be careful. Watch that. Yes, sister.
Did I get to share?
Yes.
Because my dad has told me that Santa Claus exists. just kind of like, at the last minute, you know, the girl says, okay, Dad, just tell her. Tell her the truth. Santa Claus is real, isn't he? See, I told you. And to that girl, it was true because Dad said it was true. And that was a child. Now, if we could only take God at his word.
Amen.
If we can only say, my father has said this, and it is so, even if my eyes cannot prove it to me.
Amen.
Even if my ears are hearing something different. My father told me this, and it is so. And like that child, she stood on the love, on the trust of the
child. With her father.
And she found out it was
yes.
Perfect. But we can place that trust on God. God is not going to lie to us.
Amen. Amen.
You know, it's love.
It's love, yes.
It comes down to love.
And I think that's the thing we can realize that, and we know that, our Heavenly Father would not lead us astray. Our Heavenly Father would not tell us any lies. Our Heavenly Father would not tell us that this is no good for you today, but it's okay for you tomorrow. He doesn't change. And we just have to stay true to him, to have that faith, as my sister said, as the little child. And that's very difficult for us sometimes, especially the older we get, maybe with some of the more, the worse some of our experiences are, maybe we might become a little jaded. Is that a good word? Is that a good way to put that? But where is our faith to be? In ourselves, in our fellow man, or in Christ Jesus? Christ Jesus. Because even the old prophets can lead us astray. Beware of the old prophets. Amen? Let us pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning again, and I just want to thank you, and I want to praise you, Lord God, and I want to ask that you would be with me and with each and every person that's present this morning, each and every household that's represented today, Lord God, that we can learn to stay on that firm foundation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we can stay put on his holy word and his teachings for us, Lord, as we think about the confusion that's to come upon this earth, Lord God, through not only natural disasters, but through the old prophets too, Lord, that might come to tell us that you have a better way, a different way than what you have chosen to teach us and to show us. Help us to remain faithful to you, Lord God, no matter what, no matter how attractive, no matter how persistent others may be, no matter how much they might offer us. Help us, Lord, to walk humbly before you. Lord, we ask these blessings to be poured upon us, that we might have us a taste of heaven here on this earth, that we can just have a small inkling of the joy in our hearts that you have waiting for us in that heavenly kingdom. And Lord, we ask as we rely on you, Lord, to keep us faithful to you, that not only we will see happiness and joy here, but others may be willing to follow you and be firm in you. Lord, we ask these blessings again for the glory and honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.